In the name of Jesus. Greetings from 2 John, verse 3. Grace be with you, mercy and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. And it is my prayer that we have gathered here this morning in truth and love, especially in forgiveness, forgiving others that have fallen short towards us. In order for God to also forgive our shortfalls towards Him and towards His precious word. I also read from Psalms 34. In Psalms 34, verse 7 to 9, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him. Do we want the angel of the Lord to encamp round about us? If that is so, then let us fear God. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is his name, blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Are we looking for blessings? Let us trust the Lord. For there is no want to them that fear him. Here we have it. That is my wish and my prayer for today, as we are assembled in this house of God to worship a great God, to give thanks unto him. And as for text passage, I have chosen for this morning from Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Amen. What a word of truth Jesus has left behind for us today to meditate on the same. With this in mind, let us pray. Gracious God and Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to gather in this house of yours, to worship a great God who is present everywhere at the same time, and yet small enough to live within our hearts. Lord God, we thank you in the name of Jesus Christ that you have provided salvation for sinners. We thank you for the gospel of message to come our way, so that we also have been able to repent of our sins and accept Jesus Christ as our personal Savior and Redeemer. We pray upon this congregation this morning that you will remove all fear of tomorrow and all guilt of the past, that you will cleanse every heart and soul today and prepare us to receive your word and the message that you are willing to give me today. Lord, I surrender to your will, and I'm willing to preach the word that you are willing to give me this morning. Lord, we ask your blessing upon this service. We also pray for the government that we have, that you will grant to them wisdom and understanding of your precious word, that they may follow the instructions of your precious word rather than the agenda of the world. Lord, your name be honored and glorified, and we pray your blessings on this congregation this morning and always. In Jesus' name, amen.
To number 225, All the Way My Savior Leads Me.
Take my life and let it be. 193.
Take my shall be thy royal throne. Take my love, my Lord, I pour at thy feet its treasure store. Take myself and I will be ever only yours for thee, ever only all for thee.
Did we realize the words that we were singing? The first song was pleading for the feed, for the food of God, for the blessings of God, for his spiritual nourishment upon us. And the second song referred to the willingness to do the Lord's will. Interesting. And that is why we are here today, gathered in this house of God, to surrender to the will of God and to do what he has in store for us. That is why our call today is from Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. This is an earnest plea to all of us, to a whole congregation, where it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all these things shall be added unto you. Number one for us as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ is to seek the will of God. The will of God and the kingdom of God and his righteousness, included in that is everything we need. Everything we need in time and in eternity. For God has mentioned this. Jesus has spoken these words himself. And he says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. That is number one in our walk of life. But then we look around or examine our own life, our own history. Is this what we always have done? No, it's not. We have not always done the will of God. We have manifold failed, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. I heard an old pastor asking one time that he had asked one time, Lord, where would I be if I had always followed you? And you know what he got for an answer? The answer was exactly where you are now. If we have repented of our sins, and if we have decided to do the will of God, and if we have surrendered our will to the will of God, God will always sustain us. God will always feed us with the right word and with the sufficient food of righteousness for the time and for the time to come, for the future. We look further in Matthew chapter 7. In Matthew chapter 7 and verse 7 and 8, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. So many times these words of Jesus Christ have become truth in the walk of our life. Myself, my wife Mary, and our families. And we know that the Bible tells us that God does not change. He is still answering today, but only if we surrender to his will. Verse 8. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened unto you. But we need to ask in faith, believing that God can do that and that he will do that. And God is faithful. God has promised, if we will surrender and seek his face, all the rest of it shall be added unto you. All the things that we need, not necessarily the things that are flesh, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life desires. That may be held back, but whatever we need shall be added unto you. We read in the book of John, chapter 16. In the book of John, chapter 16, verse 33 and 34, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. The word of God is so sure and so secured that nothing can take it away from us if we regard it in a faithful and an obedient heart. From there, we go to the book of Romans, Romans chapter 8. In the book of Romans chapter 8, first of all, verse 2 to 4. For the law of the Spirit of life is Christ Jesus, in Christ Jesus, hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Before we continue, I'm going to go to John 8:32. In John 8:32, it says, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Has this been taking place in your life? Has the truth of God's word made you free? If so, rejoice in the Lord. If not, don't delay it for a day. In Romans 6:18, we find, being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. This is what God wants us to be. For without it, we will not stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Half-hearted Christians will not prevail. It may sound harsh, but it is the truth of God's word. They will not prevail. Then verse 3 and 4 in Romans chapter 8. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sins. That's why we celebrate Christmas, the birth of Christ. That's why we celebrate Good Friday, the death of Christ for which he came into this world. And that's why we celebrate Easter, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, in order for us as well to be raised from the dead at the appointed time. He condemned sin in his flesh. Verse 4, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. This year we need to be careful. It says, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. When I read this verse, my thoughts go back to us as Mennonites. How often do we rather strive for financial freedoms or financial or possessions? How often is that a great desire for the flesh? To be rich and to be like other people that have more. The Pharisee, when he prayed, he thanked God for all the good deeds that he did, and that he was not as this publican that prayed beside him, who lifted not up his eyes as unto heaven, but he smote on his breast and said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. He realized the condition he was in, where the rich man, the Pharisee, he did not. And you know what happened? The publican went justified before the Pharisees. He found grace in the eyes of God. His prayer was heard. Little further in the same chapter, verse 8 to 10. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh. I hope this targets each individual present in this congregation and whosoever will listen to this message online later on. So then ye that are not in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. This is serious stuff. If the Spirit of God is not within us, we are not the children of God, no matter what we call ourselves to be. We are not. And verse 10 says, and if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. What a blessing we find here. What a blessing to know that we are the children of God. In the book of Galatians chapter 5, Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 to 18. Then This I say then, walk in the Spirit. This is an urgent call. Walk in the Spirit. I'm speaking to you that listen. Walk in the Spirit. And ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would, as the Apostle Paul says. But if ye be led of the Spirit, that is the Spirit of God, ye are not under the law, that is not under the law of Moses, but we are still under the law of God. When you look at the Ten Commandments, they still all apply to us. And when you look at the message of Jesus Christ, where he says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. That is a command of God and a command of Jesus Christ, who says in John 10, verse 30, I and my Father are one. We are still under those commandments, under the law of God. For there is no other way to heaven. Jesus says in John chapter 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. In Romans chapter 15, Romans chapter 15, 1 to 3. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak, not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproached thee fell on me. That is what Jesus has said. And in chapter 14 and verse 1, him that is weak in the faith receive ye, but not to doubtful disputation. Not to run them down, but to assist them for edification. Then we turn to the book of John, chapter 13. John 13, verse 14 and 15. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. This is verse 16. I'll read 17 too. Neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. Then we need to look at who sent us. We are sent by the Lord Jesus Christ to preach the word. And he is our master. We are not greater than him. But he says in verse 17, if ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. Then in some of the minds pop up the questions. Why don't we then wash one another's feet at communion? Because Jesus says, if you know these things, blessed are ye if you do them. Well, I can't answer that question. I don't know why we don't. But I know one thing. There is still room for improvement. And I wish you would pray for that. That God would show us the way. In Romans chapter 12, verse 2 to 6, and be not conformed to this world, but ye be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Are we always proving this? Or are we careless and just going ahead whatsoever feels good to the flesh and to the desires of our eyes? For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you. Remember, I'm speaking to you today. Not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according to, as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. We may ask, why are these words written the way they are? When we examine the sower and the seeds, and how God, through Jesus Christ, spreads the good seed, it is spread over all, but the fruitfulness is not the same. Some bear fruit 60-fold, some 30-fold, some 100-fold, according as God gives the ability. Now, we need to satisfy ourselves with these words. We are not the same, and we don't have the same talents. And as I have said before, I don't know if in this congregation or not, if every minister had only the talents that I have, many of the things would be left undone. But God deals differently. He hands out different talents to different people that he sends out. And he gives different ability to different people. Some have the ability to bear 30-fold fruits, some 60, some 100-fold. We also see that where the master hands out the talents to his laborers. To one he gave one talent, to the other two, to the other five. Each individual, according to as his ability, allowed him to deal with. What are we doing with the talents that God has given to us? Verse 4. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body. This speaks to us as congregational believers. We are one body, but yet we are many members. As the body that we live in, the hands cannot do what the feet can do. Neither can the hands do what our ears, what our eyes, what our nose, what our mouth can do. But every member of our body is of great importance, and none of it can can do the things that belong to the other part of the body, to the other members. So are we as congregation and as congregation of believers in Christ. We are many people, but we don't have the same talents. We don't have the same gifts. But one thing is the same. Be faithful with the gift and the talent that God has handed out to you. So we be and many are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. And then there's a long list given, prophecy and all other things that are given, the gifts and the talents that God is handing out to us. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God, who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. When I think of this, I'm thinking of the blessings that God has bestowed upon me. I have been a minister preaching the gospel for almost 41 years. But none of the sufficiency is of my own merits. But God has granted faith and strength and never left me without words behind the pulpit. God also provided a faithful wife for myself. He has stood behind me in my ministry all the way. Also, our family, our children and grandchildren, they're standing behind us. And you as congregation are standing behind us. My sufficiency is not of myself, but of the many prayers that have gone up to God. To God be the glory. And from here we turn to the book of Luke, chapter 18. Luke chapter 18, verse 11 and 12. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in a week, and give tithes of all that I possess. I could not say this because I have failed so many times in my life, and God and my wife and my family and you as a congregation have been so good to me and have been able and willing to forgive my shortfalls. Verse 13. And the publican standing afar off would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven. He realized his shortfalls, but he smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And this publican, who was run down by the Pharisee, he found grace. He found mercy. And he was justified. He went justified before the other because he confessed his shortfalls. What a blessing. Then we turn to Romans chapter 2. In the book of Romans chapter 2 and verse 6. Who will render to every man according to his deeds? But after the hardness and impenitent heart treasurest up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelations of the righteous judgment of God. That was verse 5. But we are able, according to the word of God, to escape these things and to receive the blessings that God has in store for us. And God has promised that. And he will keep his promises. And we thank God for that. Thus far for this part of the service. And at this time, let us kneel and pray in the name of Jesus. Lord, hear our humble prayers and be merciful to one and all.
Take the blue book and turn to number 148, Great is Thy Faithfulness. 148, for those that are able, let's stand.
Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. Summer and sun, moon, and stars in their courses above. Join with all nature in manifold witness to thy great faithfulness, mercy, and love. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness, morning by morning new mercies I see. All I have needed thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Pardon for sin and a peace that endureth. Thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide. Strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings all mine with 10,000 beside. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning new mercies I see. All I have needed thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
How wonderful that we can trust the great God of his faithfulness. God makes promises, and God keeps his promises. And all glory and honor goes to God. No praise towards myself. No merits that I have achieved of selfish desire or effort. But all goes to God in the name of Jesus Christ. And I'm going to tell you right now that according to the list, that this is the last message that I am planning to present in this sanctuary. It has been almost 41 years that I have been preaching the gospel. And as I said before, God has never left me speechless behind the pulpit. Therefore, my message today is of great urgency. For we have very little time left to serve the Lord. We have very little time left to make our decisions. And whatever decision we make in this world, in this life, the results of it in eternity will show up. And if we don't do anything, we will be ending up at the left hand of God in eternal hellfire. I'm warning us today. Search your hearts and prepare for the coming of Jesus Christ. He will come soon and end our life, or else he will come for the rapture. And thereafter is no more time for decision making. That will be the end of it. And if you have not repented, if you have not given your life to the Lord Jesus, please do it today, for we don't know what tomorrow will bring. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, I'll read the verses 9 to 11. Know ye not then the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Who are the unrighteous? The unrighteous are the unrepented. And they will not inherit the kingdom of God. And as we know that there are only two destinations in eternity, there is the eternal punishment in darkness and hellfire. And there is the blessedness at the right hand of God, eternal joy and peace. Which one do you want? We all make the decision in this walk of life as to where we want to spend eternity. Even in the Old Testament, God spake to the people. And in the book of Joshua as well, choose ye this day whom ye will serve. I lay before you today life and death. And that is still before us this day, thousands of years later. I lay before you, he says in a different place, blessings and curse. What do we want? If we want to reap the curse, we don't need to do anything. If we want to reap the blessings of God, we need to repent. We need to surrender our will to the will of God. These are not my words, these are the words of the Bible. This is clearly written in the Bible, and if you haven't found it, read your Bible. Read the Word, and you'll find it. Therefore, choose ye this day whom ye will serve. For the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Be not deceived, neither fornicators or idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. I like the rest of the verse 11. But ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. These are comforting words that he left behind for us. Back to the book of Romans, chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, 13 to 16. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. This talks about spiritual death. But if ye do through the Spirit, if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. Always both sides are given to us. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. What a blessing. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. Therefore, fear not what the world can do to you. But ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby ye cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Isn't that interesting? The Spirit of God beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. In the book of Matthew chapter 6, and I'm going to read a couple of verses here, beginning at verse 24. No man can serve two masters. Many people try to do that, but it is impossible. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. He cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much more, not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you, that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed as one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of them, of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought of the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. That does not suggest that we are not supposed to work. It does not suggest that we should sit back and wait for the blessings of God. No, it does not. But why worry about it? In Psalms 145, verse 19 and 20. He will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. Here is the answer. He also will hear their cry and will save them. The Lord preserveth all of them that love him. What a wonderful answer and a promise of God. But all the wicked will he destroy. Another word of comfort we find in Psalms 37, 25. Psalms 37, 25, where King David says, I have been young and am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. God is God is providing for his people. And we find that over and over again in his precious word to the New Testament. In the book of Luke, chapter 12, verse 31 and 32. Luke 12, 31 and 32. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock. Listeners, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. What a promise of blessings. God is willing to give us the kingdom. It is his pleasure to do so, and he will do it. Romans 8, 31 and 32. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? And in 2 Chronicles, chapter 7, verse 14. If my people who are called at my name shall humble themselves, this refers directly to us as children of God. Are we the people of God? Well, we are Christians. And Jesus says in John 10, 30, I and my Father are one. And God says, if my people shall humble themselves and seek my face, I better turn to that. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins, and will heal their land. This is so important for us in our day of age. Why don't we do that? Why don't we do that? And now I'm going to share something else. I mentioned before that I had been in the ministry almost 41 years. I got the message at age 6. And that's a story that I'm not going to share today because time will not allow. But there's one incident that I want to share. It took from the age of 6 till the age of 45 when the people elected me to the ministry on my 45th birthday. I always knew that I would be becoming a minister to preach the gospel since the age of 6. When I was in grade 2 or grade 3, I was just a small, skinny boy. Many times I had a dream. Sometimes I was wide awake and I had visions. Whether it was a dream or a vision, it was always the same thing. I saw 3 balls. Every time I saw them, they were the same size. The smallest that I remember seeing were approximately 2.5 feet in diameter. And the biggest ones I ever saw were as big as the whole world, 3 of them in a row. And they were always there above the barn loft, on a big high barn, just above the roof, where I saw these balls, always that way. And with my childish understanding, I could not grasp what this was to mean. There was never a debate on that, but it was a demand of Jesus Christ to carry those balls into heaven. And with a childish mind, tried to grasp that. I couldn't. I knew that I would be a minister, but these things I could not understand what they meant. I mentioned the smallest balls and the biggest balls. Many times they were in between sizes, but they were always 3, and always the 3 were the same size. But at different times they appeared at different sizes. What does it mean? Now I understand, but then when that childish mind, I could not understand what that was supposed to mean. And it was a demand. It was a requirement of Jesus. I was supposed to carry them into heaven. I could not sleep. We were sleeping. We boys were sleeping on a second floor. I was crying and crying and crying. Oftentimes, I prevented falling asleep because I hadn't done the requirement of God. I hadn't carried these balls into heaven yet. And if I died, I hadn't done what God's request was. Where would I end up? I feared that. It was a very hard time of my life. And I was a small, skinny guy. So what else could I do? I went downstairs and knocked on the parents' bedroom door. And I was invited in. This happened many times. I shared with the parents my situation. And Father prayed over me. And I was invited to sleep in their bed till the morning. And I felt so comforted, I fell asleep. This happened many times. At the age of maybe upper 8 or 9, but God was preparing me for the ministry. Later on, when I became a pastor, I started to understand I don't know how often I have preached the gospel, but thousands of times. I have preached to individuals. I have preached to small congregations. I have preached to medium-sized congregations. And I have preached to large congregations. And is it as it is now that the messages are sent online? I preach to the whole world because the messages are available to be heard all across the globe. And I sometimes receive information from Paraguay that people listen and have listened to my messages. And I hope they listen to this one too. First of all, the Manitoba, I have preached many times in Saskatchewan, a couple of times in Alberta, a couple of times in Ontario, and numerous times in different denominations, which were others than Somerville churches. But none of the merits by myself. It is the gift of God that he bestowed upon me. But there I learned what those balls were meaning. The whole world is able to listen to the message. And when we were called to Seminole, Texas, what did we find there? We found there a group of people about approximately 15 or 16 couples, I'm not sure, that were hungry for the will of God. That's what we found. And we showed them the way to heaven. Then later on, when we went to Mexico, first of all, we served in Seminole, Texas for 1.5 years by the grace of God. Later on, we were called to Mexico. And both of these times, as well as becoming a minister, I knew ahead of time what was coming up before we were approached by people. When the decision was made, or when the discussions came about at our ministerial meetings in regards to going to Mexico, people tried to prevent that. I guess this is something that many of us didn't know. But we knew that we would be going because we had the call of God ahead of time already. A difference it would have made if they had not decided in favor of it. The church would have not paid for our traveling expenses, which they now did. But finally they agreed we were going to Mexico. We had been there before with Reverend Abe and Martha Hapnick together for 2 weeks preaching the word. I think we were preaching 4 times, both of us. And after that, we have been there many times by the grace of God. What did we find there? A group of hungry sheep. when the decision was made at our ministerial meeting that we would go, we were told to bring those two groups together. And my answer was, we leave that alone. Because two ministers had gone a couple of months before, which just made the situation worse. Then we were asked, then I was asked, what else do you want there? And I said, feed the hungry sheep. When we got to Mexico, we found a whole bunch of hungry sheep. They had a desire to find the Lord Jesus Christ. Many of them were baptized just because of getting married, because of the rules and regulations of the church. They had not repented of their sins. They figured water baptism was repentance, which is not so. The reason I shared this, because I said before I was willing to say what the Lord will give me. And this is what he has given me, and that's why I'm sharing that with you, that you can continue to pray for us and for the rest of the ministerial. Now the Seminole Church has resulted in three congregations. The church in Seminole that we helped them establish has resulted in four congregations, two large ones and two smaller ones. We did what God expected of us, and God pours out his blessings over it. Another thing comes to mind, and that's a question to the believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. What are you doing on the last Saturday of the month? You answer that question to yourselves or to God. Because in the last Saturday, as a rule, in the last Saturday of the month, we are having our ministerial meeting. What for do we have ministerial meetings? To search for the well-being of the church. We pray that God will show us the way. And you should sometimes hear the discussions that are taking place. They are not always very pleasant. Some are pulling this way, some are pulling that way. We have the resources. You people are the resources. Pray for that. For us, we are searching for the will of God to show us the way. How about to lead the congregations? How about to show them the way to God? What can we do that congregations are not continuously decreasing? Wherever we have failed, please forgive us. And it is an urgent plea to help us along by prayer and submitting your will to the will of God. There are three things I want to talk about. I mentioned about these three balls. Let's say if you have, I saw them always there above the barn. Let's say you have balloons and you fill them up with the oxygen of your lungs or with other oxygen or other air. What happens? What happens? If you let them go, they fall down to the ground. If you rub them on your hair, they stick to a wall or to a ceiling for a little bit and then they fall down. What happens if you fill them with helium? They all pull the same direction, and that is up. That's how God expects us as believers to pull the same direction. The other one is a cluster of grapes. A cluster of big blue grapes looks very nice. But if one of the grapes are stung by a wasp, it gets a sore, it shrivels up, it gets very sour. Or else if the neck of the cluster is cut off before they're ripe, they all get sour. And yet all of these grapes are fed through that small, narrow neck of the cluster, which is tied to the vine and to the roots that are sunk into a fertile ground. So is the Church of Jesus Christ fed by the Word of God through Christ, who is the cornerstone of the foundation. Number three is a beehive. A beehive has many members, but there's only one queen. And if there happens to be another one, the strongest queen kills it, and it's thrown out. A honeybee is a female bee. But there are also male bees in the hive. They are called drones. But as everything else, the queen bee needs a husband. And only one of these drones get the advantage of marrying this queen. Now, how does that happen? The queen flies up, straight up, and the drones follow her. The one that gets the highest gets the privilege of marrying this queen. Once they have done their job, the drone falls down to the ground and dies. And a bee queen only needs once, and then she's fixed for laying eggs lifetime. A drone in a beehive is a lazy one. They don't gather honey or wax or whatever, but they like to feed on the honey that the other bees gathered. And these other bees don't allow that. The honeybees don't allow that. They kill the drones and throw them out through the little hole onto the ground. And then further, what happens to them? The ants come and cut them in pieces and take them into their hive for their winter food. But these honeybees, they all pull the same direction. That is to gather wax for the cages to be built and gather honey, lots of honey. They all pull the same direction. So it is with the Church of Jesus Christ. As believers, we should do away with the filthiness that finds itself among us. Throw that out and all pull the same direction. Which direction should we pull? The instructions and the guidelines are given in this book. It is upwards. I don't know where time is going, but I'm sorry for the length of time. But these are the things that I needed to share on the last message in this congregation. When you look at the list I'm going to fulfill, if the Lord gives me strength, the places that are there, and there's one on my list, there's one more that I missed before. But I wish you God's blessings and God's peace. today and forever. Now, close my message with the book of Jude. In the book of Jude, reading a couple of verses here. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for that mercy, for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of God, before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. Amen. And now let us once more kneel and pray in the name of Jesus. Lord, hear our humble prayers and shed your blessing upon the spoken words.
Take your blue hymnal and turn to number 66. 'Twas a glad day when Jesus found me. Number 66.
Sin and shame. 'Twas a glad day when Jesus found me, when his strong arms were thrown around me, when my sins he buried in the deepest sea, and my soul he filled with joy and victory. 'Twas a glad day, oh hallelujah. 'Twas a glad day he claimed his own. I will shout a glad hosanna in glory when I see him upon his throne. Oh, the bells of heaven now are ringing, for I hear their tones within my ransomed soul, and my heart is filled with joyful singing since the Savior hath made me whole. 'Twas a glad day when Jesus found me, when his strong arms were thrown around me, when my sins he buried in the deepest sea, and my soul he filled with joy and victory. 'Twas a glad day, oh hallelujah. 'Twas a glad day he claimed his own. I will shout a glad hosanna in glory when I see him upon his throne. Oh, the joy when we shall meet mansions of the Father's home above, and to endless ages tell the story of the Savior's redeeming love. 'Twas a glad day when Jesus found me, when his strong arms were thrown around me, when my sins he buried in the deepest sea, and my soul he filled with joy and victory. 'Twas a glad day, oh hallelujah, 'twas a glad day he claimed his own. I will shout and glad hosanna in glory when I see him upon his throne.
Reverend John F. Clauston just asked me to make closing. I have nothing prepared, but I don't want to keep here for any extent, other than to say he mentioned it in his service. This is his last message. And he has brought many messages in Winkler. And I think for most of you, you would really appreciate his messages. Messages of encouragement, messages of salvation. And we as a Winkler group want to appreciate that. I do appreciate both John and Mary. We have traveled extensively with them to Mexico a number of times. We've had a lot of fun. Some not so good times in Mexico, but a lot of good times where we laugh. And yeah, we've been in Seminole. We've traveled with them and always had a good time. I don't know what to say more than that. I wish them well in their retirement. And I think today we'll do it maybe a little different. We'll ask the ministerial to go down, and those of you that want to meet them, maybe Mary wants to join them, and you can talk to them. Usually it happens that everybody's gone, and then you want to talk to somebody. But we'll ask them, and maybe all the ministerial go down, and then those that want to greet them can greet them. How would that be? Yeah. Thank you again for coming. I wish them well, like I said, and I want to leave you with a benediction. In Numbers chapter 6. The Lord bless thee, and the Lord keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee, and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance now and into all eternity. Amen. God bless you, and we'll have the ministerial go down first, and then you can follow.